how we can adapt some strategies that fit their business.
You are listening to the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and this is episode 63, where we speak with Kyle Van Dusen. Kyle does a whole load of stuff online, but we decide to park all of that stuff and actually talk about his business, Ogle Web Design, and the challenges he faces with his customers on a day-to-day basis. Let's dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today I am joined by my great friend from across the water, Mr. Kyle Van Dusen. KVD, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Am I your favorite friend from Texas?
You're possibly my only friend from Texas.
Okay, well, that would make me your favorite. So I'm going to put that as maybe like my Twitter bio or something.
Yeah, Pete's favorite friend from Texas. I am obviously, you know, if you're not connected with me on Twitter, frankly, there's just no point being on there.
Yeah, well, I'm not connected with anybody on Twitter. It was a lie. I don't even know Twitter.
So Kyle runs Ogle Web Design. He does a whole bunch of stuff online, but he runs Ogle Web Design, which is his business that he actually runs from Texas. And today we're going to be talking a bit about that. So Kyle, do you want to sort of explain a bit about what Ogle is, who you are, and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, shortly after graduating high school, I took a job as the head floor sweeper at a print company because I was totally infatuated with all the cool things they could do. And I worked my way up from that into somehow sitting behind the graphic designer for quite a while, and then took over her job when she left and spent 15 years as a graphic designer in the print industry. During that time, I went to school for business, got a degree in business, and knew that I wanted to run my own business one day. But the print business can be very expensive. So I found my way into website design and development, spent some time learning the ins and outs of that, and started my business back in the middle of 2016 and went full time with it in the middle of 2017 and haven't looked back since. So most of the stuff I do is website design and development for small businesses. And I still do some print work for my customers and stuff like that, because it's already in my DNA. So why not, you know?
You know, I could completely relate with that. We don't advertise that we do print stuff particularly, but yeah, you know, we can do brochures and we can do flyers and we can do letterheads and you name it. And you know, when it's one of those things I found, when you're talking to a new client, it's not necessarily going to get you the job or get you in front of the client to do the pitch. But if you are pitching and you say, by the way, you know, if you need to modify your logo, look, we can just take care of all of this. Right. It certainly helped close a client quite quickly. So it's definitely a good thing to have in your arsenal. Now, I know Kyle and I are part of a few of the same groups on Facebook. We spend a bit of time hanging out.
We do.
And I know that one of the things that you like doing for your clients is basically problem solving. And that's why we get, why we get into business to do what we do. So, you know, when you're talking to your clients, what are some of the biggest challenges that they're facing?
So I think a lot of times, customers and businesses that are relatively new or haven't done a whole lot of advertising. They've relied on referrals or word of mouth and things like that. And they're getting into the point where they want to grow their business, expand their business, and they don't fully understand how all these things work. So when they get into working with me or working with any developer, I think really talking about expectations and how digital marketing, especially because it can be full of misinformation. You can have a preconceived notion of how all this works that doesn't really match up with reality. So I think a lot of times the challenges are really understanding, they understand what the word blog means and they understand what social media is, but to how to actually take those tools and find a way to use them in your business that's both engaging for your audience and ends up being profitable and a way for you to bring revenue into your company. Like connecting those two things can be really difficult if you don't know how to use those tools properly. Like Facebook's fun and it's cool to like pictures and things like that. But you know, things me and you might know, like, you know, the organic reach of your Facebook page is minuscule, and you just posting something on your Facebook page probably isn't going to do you anything. You need a little bit more strategy involved in order to get the results you want. So a lot of times, you know, we spend a lot of time in meetings talking about strategic ways to use all these different tools, because there's about a million, or which tools make most sense for the business and how we can adapt some strategies that fit their business and actually can use these tools effectively.
You know, it's I think that's one of the misconceptions that we sort of have in this world. There's two misconceptions. Firstly, the first one is that you can Google anything and know how to do it, which you can Google anything and you can probably find out how to do it, but actually being able to do it well is a bit different from just knowing how it works. And then the second thing is, because you can Google stuff and find the answer out like now, people think that these things happen quickly, that they should be instantaneous. Google's instant. Everything about Google's instant. But you and I know that if you're trying to get a web page, you create a web page today and then see how long it takes you to get it, not just to index in Google, but to rank for a good keyword. And you're talking weeks, if not months, plus backlink strategies, plus you know, social media to get some traffic on the page to begin with, plus some conversion optimization to lower bounce rates, whatever it might be. There's all this other stuff that you've got to kind of monitor and just tweak and refine. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of how it's perceived this side of the pond. So how is it the same? Do you guys have a different take on it? How's it kind of perceived over in the States?
Yeah, I mean, I think the same thing. You know, I struggle in this. I want to really provide the best service possible for my clients, but digital marketing is very complex. So when they just say, hey, I want to rank on Google for something, I want to go into that long spiel of we need to do this and this and all these things matter. And on top of that, it's always a case by case basis, like your market, your business, the industry you're in, the location you're in, all these things change all the strategies. So we have to look at a million different things to really do a good job. But you're right. You can Google something and just say, okay, how do I rank on Google? And you're going to find a million articles with some basic ideas of how to do it. And they think if they just click these buttons, those things will happen. But it just gets so much more complex than that. And I think this is a trap that business owners fall into where they say, okay, I got a website. I feel like I Googled all the right things and put the right things in place. And it just doesn't do anything for me. Or, you know, I had a website for 2 years and I never got a phone call from it. So I just stopped using it. So a website doesn't work for my business, or social media doesn't work for my business. And it's not that those things don't work. If websites didn't work, why would every large company in the world have one? It's not that they don't work. It's that you really have to find the right strategies to use them. There's, you know, a billion new websites registered every day. And a billion might be a little bit of a high number, but there's a ton. And so as that competition gets more and more fierce, just being able to like launch a website or set up a social media page, that's not enough. Like you have to do a lot more than that to really gain traction with it.
Yeah, you're dead right. You know, my dad was, he was made redundant once. This was years ago, before I was born. He was made redundant and he got a job for a builder's merchant, I think it was. And basically he had to go and get quotes for this builder's merchant. So they gave him a really small car and sent him out and said, look, what we expect from you is three quotes a day. So he went out and he started approaching these businesses, and he's quite good at talking and, you know, striking up conversations with people that he doesn't know. And he'd leave some business cards and he'd ring them back and he'd go back and see them and all that kind of thing. Anyway, he was finding that he could get like 8 or 10 quotes a day, really without even sort of thinking about it. So he went one day, he went and he submitted 6 of his 8 or 10 quotes. And the office were like, whoa, we can't cope with that. You know, we've said we want 3, and that's because that's all we can handle. You know, we've got 4 or 5 sales guys out. If you all came back with 6, we'd have a problem. So for like the next 8 months, my dad would go out and he'd go and meet these people. When he got to 3 quotes, he'd go and find a park or a cafe or somewhere, and he'd just sit there for the rest of the day. And then rock up back at the office at like 20 minutes before the end of the day, say, look, there's your 3 quotes. I'll see you tomorrow. And that was it. And that was kind of the old school way of doing business back in the, I guess that was like late 70s. And there's still this misconception that just because you can have a business card and leave it somewhere, you know, the phone will automatically start ringing. And My dad's in his 70s now. He can't quite get to grips with how I can target people who already want the kind of service I have to offer without having to leave my desk here. How many videos do you see with this wardrobe door behind me? You know, right. I don't have to leave this room and I can get in touch with those people. But it's taken time and research and consistency and whatever to get to that. And I guess that's where people don't see the kind of connection between the two.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's so many different ways you can market online, and there's so many different platforms you can put your business on. And the problem is if you try to get involved in all of those and do a million of them, it's very hard to get very in depth with any of them. And when you just use any of these tools in a very broad sense, you don't get very far with them. So you end up spinning your wheels a whole lot and not getting very far on any of them. And that just causes frustration. It causes you to burn out. It causes you to say things like, this doesn't work for my business. And you know, so a lot of times what I'll tell customers is we really need to focus on doing less things more effectively. You know, so if we think there's an opportunity for social media to drive traffic to your website, okay, well, why do we want to drive traffic to your website? Well, we want to, you know, improve its rankings online because there's lots of traffic and people talking about it. We want to convert visitors into customers. We want to make more sales, whatever it may be. Okay, well, instead of going on 15 different social media platforms and doing really a half-assed job on all of them, let's pick one or two that match your company's target audience the best. Where are your customers hanging out? And then let's really just focus on those solely so we can put more attention into them. Because, you know, kind of like you said, it doesn't work the same way things used to work. And online and digital marketing isn't the same thing as doing it in person. And it, because there's so many avenues, it really requires a lot more focus, I think. And I think that's something that's hard for people to understand is just there is some dedication and time that goes into it. And, you know, I'm the world's most impatient person, but it's something that I've even learned. And if I can learn to have a little bit of patience with it, I know anybody can.
And, you know, you're dead right. You do need to have a bit of patience with it. It's that patience and perseverance thing that kind of pays dividends in the end, really. Do you have any sort of tips when you're starting to look at these things for your clients or for your own business? You know, I'm trying to think of the guys that are listening to this podcast are probably marketing consultants, or they're either working on their own business or business of the client, or maybe their employer. So where's the best place to start? What's the first sort of indicators to look for?
So, I mean, I think everything marketing online, everything in marketing in general starts with really understanding your audience. So you can never do too much research on your audience. You can never know too much about your target customer. You can never really narrow down exactly who that target customer is enough. There's always work to be done on that. But everything you do from that point forward kind of hinges on who you're talking to. So really understanding who your target audience is the most important step, because it's the foundation everything sits on. You know, you're not going to talk to, you know, a small business owner in Texas the same way you would some huge corporation in London. You know, you have a different message you'd put out to those people. So really understanding who you're best suited to do business with, everything relies on that first. So that's definitely one of the first steps you got to really spend a lot of time on. And like I said, you can't spend there's no way to spend too much time on that.
Yeah. You know, and when you think, some people think about, you've already mentioned it, that social media doesn't really work for you. And actually the real benefit of social media is that it allows for that two-way conversation in marketing. Whereas, you know, display ads, that's still all one-way traffic. Facebook ads, still one-way traffic. Content marketing, to a certain extent, one-way traffic. But actually, if you when you actually set up social media on the platforms where your audience is, and as you say, you're doing things well, you've got consistency going, and you can actually then start to interact with your audience, that actually really then starts to change the way. And I know that both of us have put things out on Facebook where we say, hey, you know, would you find this useful? Or do you have any problems with X, Y, or Z? And it's because you've got some kind of marketing idea or service idea that you just wanted to test the water with. And that for me is the sort of power of where social media comes in allowing that receptive element to marketing coming back in, that's a bit more than Google Analytics and data and that kind of thing. Kim Doyle recommends Donald Miller's How to Create a Story Brand. And that really, if anybody's wondering about how that kind of conversational style of marketing goes, I'd thoroughly recommend that you check that out. I'll go and drop a link in the show notes. But it is about how to break your message and your values down into not just one whole hit of verbal diarrhea that says everything that you're about, but break it down into small chunks so that you can feed this out over and over again through communications, through posts, through tweets, through ads, through whatever it is you're doing. But it all builds into this brand that is dedicated around your story of your company.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about social media, you know, especially having that conversation back and forth. And I think the people that are listening to this who are marketers and working with clients or people who are just trying to market their own business, I think this will be familiar. Businesses don't know what to publish on social media. So what they end up doing is talking a lot about themselves and saying, hey, we do this, we do that, call us. You need us. And it's all focused on their own business. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know of anybody who gets on social media that wants to read those types of things. Like, in a way, we're all kind of self-serving just as human beings. We get on here so we can get something out of it. And so what I usually will talk to my customers about is the easiest trick for them to know what to post on social media is something they can do almost off of the top of their head. And that's just start taking account of all the questions, the typical questions customers ask you. So I was actually in a meeting with a customer or a prospective customer yesterday. And so I started asking them about what do people ask you when they are, what kind of questions do people ask you when they call you up for the first time? And so he started rattling this and that and all these things that I would have never even considered about his business. I wasn't super familiar with his business industry, but he starts rattling off all these different things. So I'm making notes of all of them, and he probably goes on for 10 minutes during this conversation. And we get a little bit further into some other things, and he says, yeah, I don't think I have enough content to put on a website. There's just not enough that I can say about this other than, like, here's what we do, here's the phone number. So I went back to all those things I wrote down. I said, this is all your content. You know, everybody has this curse of knowledge. If you're running a business, you have to be some kind of expert in that industry. You know more than your customers do, or why would anybody hire you? Mm-hmm. So all these things that your customers are asking that you have answers off the top of your head, you could probably answer in your sleep. Those are perfect bits of content for your website. They're perfect things to say on social media. They're great things to put in ads. I mean, they're good things to put in your brochures or anywhere you're marketing your business. If customers have these questions and if they're asking you these questions, they're certainly asking Google before they pick up a phone. You know, today, if I want to know something, the first thing I'm going to do is pick up my cell phone and Google it. If I can't find the exact answer I need, or if I need more information, or if I just want to talk to somebody, sure, then I'm going to pick up the phone and call. But the first thing I'm going to do is ask Google. So let's say a potential client has a question related to your industry. They ask a very specific question into Google. They land on your page and you answer exactly what they're looking for. Well, now you're the expert they need. It doesn't have to be, you know, college level writing. It doesn't have to be super sophisticated. It just needs to answer the question for them. And as soon as you can do that, you can land customers that way because you're the expert they're looking for. So I think people have the content in them. They have the ideas in them. They have all the answers inside them, inside the knowledge that they've built over the years doing whatever they're doing. It's just figuring out that, it's giving yourself the confidence and understanding what kinds of things are important to your customers, which goes back to the customer research part of it. But it's pretty interesting to see that once you kind of have this conversation with customers, they realize all of a sudden that they do have a ton of content in them. They do have a lot of marketing ideas in them, and they can solve a lot of problems that just seem routine to them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it doesn't have to be a complicated process of doing this. So much about marketing and social media is all about habit. So, you know, use a tool that you would naturally sort of interact with every day. So I don't know if that's a Google Sheet or an Excel document or a Trello board or, you know, a ClickUp board or whatever it might be. Just, you know, pick something and just start making notes of these things. Have an app on your phone just where you make notes of them. And the other thing that I think limits people is that, you know, the businesses come and they interact with people like you and me. They come and get an agency on board and we start asking awkward questions because we start asking exactly what you've been talking about. Who is your customer? What problems do you solve? How much do you turn over? Do you, you know, what's the priorities for your business? All this kind of thing. And people sort of turn around and get a bit uncomfortable in their chair and get a bit all sort of stiff upper lip. And the reason I think for that is that they either get somebody like you or me in and they expect us to have all the answers that we don't necessarily have. We know how to technically do stuff, but actually how we technically do that stuff for your business needs a bit of context around it. And then the sort of second half of that is, I think when people are then taking that on and thinking about their marketing, it's kind of something that they will block an hour in their day for and say, right, I am now going to market. Expecting themselves to be creative and witty and honest and understand all that stuff about audience research and this, that, and the other. And actually, you know, the best ideas I come up with either for my business or for that of clients is when I'm doing something else. You know, I'll be driving the car or cutting the grass or going for a walk or whatever. I'm just getting on with life. And then that's when my brain has kind of the freedom to sort of roam and process these ideas, and some of them I'll come up with are absolutely rubbish and they never make it off the list, but it's those ones that actually I have at those times when it just occurs to me and I think that might work, and they make it onto the list and then they get pitched to a client or they get pitched to our little team here and we say, yeah, actually, you know, that might have some mileage in it, we'll go with that, we'll try this. So you know, marketing is a long-term thing, but it also needs to be a natural, organic, genuine thing. And I think people are intelligent enough to know when you're not being genuine. Does that all make sense? I've gone on a rant now, but does that all make sense?
I think you're right. And I think this is one of the things I really love about, you know, there's trends in marketing and things in marketing change all the time. But one thing that's really been on the rise for some time now, and I don't see any time leaving anytime soon, is just that genuineness, the honesty, and the relatability people want to have with people they're doing business with. So whether you're trying to find customers or you know, you're a customer looking for some kind of service, the people you want to work with are the people that you kind of feel connected to in some way, or you feel like you can relate to in some way. So it doesn't have to be this, you know, I'm the company, you're the customer, I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. It is this kind of collaborative thing. You really need to find people that you feel comfortable with and can relate with. And I think that actually makes marketing a whole lot easier for businesses, because now you don't have this really stuffy expectation of how you need to write content or what you need to say when you stand up in front of a crowd. Like, being relatable, being yourself, and being genuine and honest about what you do is the best kind of marketing you can do. And it's also, you know, the thing that's going to come most natural to you. Now, that doesn't mean it's natural day one when you get up and try to do it, because it's not. You kind of go into this like, I'm going to get dressed nicely and I'm going to use these big words and talk fancy. But once you can kind of let go of that and just have conversations with people, more and more people are going to want to do business with you. And you're going to attract the right types of clients, because I could find clients and you could find clients and anybody listening to this could find clients, but trying to find the right clients that relate to you, you align well, your businesses align well, you can help them in the way that they need, that makes it a little bit more difficult. But when you're really honest and genuine and people connect with you, you're going to have the right kind of people coming into your business, which is just as important. So, you know, I've gone into meetings or had, you know, meetings with prospects and said, you know, knew that they were getting multiple bids or knew that they were shopping around, which I advocate wholeheartedly to people that contact me. Like, they don't need to just contact me and hire me. It's important that when you pick somebody to help market your business really in any way, one, it needs to be some kind of long-term partnership and investment in each other. I can't just come in, press a few buttons on your business and turn you off on your way and you're going to go do great things. Like, it's not really how it works. You really need to find the person that aligns well with your business. So getting multiple bids, talking with multiple people, I think that's great for both parties, and it helps both the client and the company find the right people to partner with. And you know, it does me no good to onboard a customer that I know I'm not the right fit for. It does me no good. It does them no good. So I think this whole idea of being very genuine and being yourself, it just does good. And it's a perfect thing in marketing today that I'm glad we finally like made our way to.
Yeah, you know, you're dead right. You're dead right. And it's the really great thing about that is that if people have been engaging with your conversation through social media or you know, the content marketing, whatever it is you've been doing, then they kind of already know that they like you, if you know what I mean. It's you've already look, I've just had we've just had a project go through from for a client that was a referral from somebody else. And normally, look, first things first, everybody has projects that go wrong. That's part of the way of the world. Every so often a project just goes a bit Pete Tong. It doesn't quite go exactly how you're planning it, and that's the way it is. Anyway, we had this referral in from a client. I'd never met this guy before. I'd never really heard of his business. It was kind of he was about 50 miles away, so it was sort of in a different city. Anyway, this referral came in, and of course, I want to help out the person that's doing the referral because they already work with this client. So we accepted this job, and it was like pulling teeth. The proposals, I had an initial meeting, it went absolutely fine. The proposal went through, they signed it, that wasn't a problem. And as soon as they paid the deposit and we actually had to start getting on with some work, this guy just turned into an animal. He was just, it was completely different. It took me 3 meetings to actually get him to tell me what his business actually did. Because the first 2 meetings, he was determined to tell me what they didn't do. And I'm exactly like you said earlier, you know, I can't come in and just sprinkle some fairy dust and make this work. I need to understand what it is you do and who it is you're trying to attract. I don't really care who you're not attracting and what you don't do. I need to know what you do and who you need to attract. And I got to this third meeting, and in the car on the way there, I was ready to throw his deposit back at him and tell him to go find somebody else. I was that hacked off. And I got there a bit early, so I kind of prepared myself. And I thought, you know what? No, I've always got that. I can always do that. So let's not go in all guns blazing. Let's just go in, see how it goes. And, you know, if after half an hour or whatever, we're still not making any progress, then we'll make a decision from there. And sure enough, the guy started opening up. And we actually went through this whole audience persona process where we said, right, so talk me through your process. And he always said, oh, well, we do these one of these 4 things. And when we actually broke it down, he had, I think it was 17 items to his process. Each one had questions around it, had, you know, particular USPs that benefited particular, you know, parties for his target audience, et cetera, et cetera. And by the end of like an hour and 40 minutes, I actually shook his hand on the way out and said, thank you so much for that. I now feel like I understand what you do and who you're trying to reach. So let's put a plan together. And I nearly threw that job out the window. So, you know, we all get jobs that don't necessarily go the way we want. But I think, you know, if you can break it down into those kind of milestones, actually the building blocks, aren't they? We need to understand this. We need to understand that. We can go away and do some research and find out a few extra bits, and then we'll start putting a strategy together. And that all takes time. And really that's the theme that we're kind of keep on circling around here.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is an important thing for both somebody hiring a marketer to understand and a marketer to understand that's working with a client. Chances are 99% of the time, the two parties don't speak the same language fully, you know? So as marketers, we're coming into this looking at whatever the problem is that we're trying to solve in a completely different light from a different angle than what the customer is looking at it from. Mm-hmm. I can't do my job without the customer helping me understand their business. And they're not, they're, if they've come to me, they are having trouble getting the marketing done because their expertise relies in the business. So it has to become a partnership where both of us can rely on each other to help get these things solved. Because, you know, unless I was niched down into some very specific industry that I understood very, very well, most of the time I'm going into businesses that I might have a general idea of what they do, or, you know, I might've had some experience with them before, but every business is a little unique anyway. So you really have to understand a lot about the company, and it's a two-way street, and all of this takes time. You know, having a marketing plan day one is difficult. That's going to take a little bit of time. Once you employ that plan, seeing the results from it takes a little bit of time. And if you've put together some kind of marketing plan and you're not seeing results in the first week, as I've had customers come back to me after a week of launching their website and say, hey, I'm not ranking in Google for anything. Like, we have to have some kind of reasonable expectation of the timeline these things take. And it's a snowball effect, right? So I can use my own company as an example. When I launched my website, I guess in 2016, it had no authority. I was just one of a billion other web developers. I would publish something, it would take forever to even like index in Google, and it would never rank for anything. But as time went on and I published more content and I stayed at it, I started seeing some wins from that. I started seeing more people visiting the site. I started seeing more phone calls or requests come in. And then what I started noticing maybe a year and a half, 2 years into it is, man, when I publish something now, it's getting indexed very quickly, and I'm starting to rank for these things a whole lot quicker. And that's one thing I talk to my clients about is, this is a snowball effect. Like, these things are going to take longer in the beginning, but putting all that hard work in at the beginning is going to set you up to have a lot more success further down the road a lot quicker. So now when I have a new offering for my business, or I'm you know, publishing some kind of new content to help my clients out, I can get those things to market a whole lot faster because I've put in all that hard work. I've showed, you know, the Google gods that I will do as they wish. And I've put in that work so that I can now be rewarded for that. So it's like anything else, you know, you kind of get in what you, or you get out what you put into it.
Yeah, too right, too right. And I think where we're kind of coming, starting to come back around a little bit full circle on this, but I think one of the kind of key thing that closes this loop is exactly what you've mentioned, which is your marketing doesn't need to be from your perspective. Your marketing is from the perspective of your client. So if you are a marketer, then you know you're talking in the language of the businesses you're wanting to attract. If you're working for those businesses, you're talking in the language of their clients that you are trying to attract to them. And putting it from their perspective, what's the benefit to them? What's the, you know, at the end of the day, people spend money for two reasons, either to avoid loss so that they don't lose something, or to achieve gain so they actually get something out of it. So, you know, what is it for your audience or the audience of your client that, you know, that you can put in those, one of those two streams to actually start talking to your audience in a language that they're going to understand? And I think that kind of nicely brings us around full circle to, you know, look, it's taken us, what, 40 minutes to go around this process.
Right.
This stuff takes time. And there's loads of resources out there. And, you know, Carl's got a Facebook group. We've got the marketing development group. We'd love to talk to you about how you're feeling about this and how you're, you know, the challenges you're facing either for you or for your clients. So drop into one of our groups and give us a shout out, because we'd love to talk to you more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you said it took us 40 minutes to come full circle on this, and I think we just scratched the surface on about 100 different things. So
yeah, know,
it goes deep and forever. I think I get in trouble sometimes in client meetings because they'll ask some kind of question and I will ramble for 20 minutes straight about all these cool things, and also, man, I'm overloading people with information. It's very complicated very quick, but it's something I love talking about. So yeah, if anybody wants to continue the conversation, I am always game.
you know, there's a show idea here. Marketing 101 with Pete and Kyle.
There you go.
That's on the recording, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. That might get edited out into the made a list first before I whole brain to mouth filter didn't quite
right. No doubt.
Mate, if people do want to track you down online, where's the best place they can find you?
Yeah, so if you go to ogleweb.com, ogalweb.com, you can find my website. There's lots of contacty buttons on there. You can email me, Kyle at ogleweb. You can look me up on Facebook. If you can spell my last name, you can find me. There's not a whole lot of me, so I'll be there. I usually, any social media that I'm doing is usually on there, so I would love to connect and carry on the conversation further.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure and never a chore to speak to Kyle. If you've been around in either the Marketing Development Podcast group or the Demystifying SEO group, if you've been part of our course, you will have seen some workshops that Kyle and I have done together, and I really do enjoy collaborating with him. So Kyle, thank you so much for being on the show. If you've connected with anything that Kyle and I have been talking about in the last 40 minutes or so, feel free to drop into our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, and we'll continue the discussion in the group.